الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. For the past a day or two we were discussing about the controlling of the eyes in order to keep a perfect roza. And in roza, to say haram at all times is haram, but in roza try and even see things which are not necessary to see. We can't control we can't close our eyes. As we close our tongue, we don't speak, eyes will be open. But try not to focus on things which are not necessary, and inshallah, by the barakat of that, the rest of the year, and in turn the rest of our lives, Allah will help us to stay away from haram. Just like, as we had mentioned, a person doesn't look at his halal wife with lust in Ramadan, Allah will save him from haram his whole life also. So, further to that, one very important incident, which is very necessary to take a great lesson from, Sheikh Shibli, rahmatullah alayhi, was such a great sheikh. And on one occasion, he was going with his 10,000 murids. They came to a town and they wanted to make Asr namaz. Most of the inhabitants of this town were fire worshippers, Christians, Jews. They refused to give them water for making wudu. So they went past the town and they came to out of the town where there was a well. And there they started preparing to make for the Asr. And there the sheikh, such a great sheikh, a very great sheikh, his eyes fell on a Christian girl. And when his eyes fell on this girl, he just fell in love with her. And he wanted to marry her. So he proposed marriage to her. And she said, she's got no problem, but speak to my father if my father agrees. The father also agreed. He said, no problem, but on condition that you become a Christian. That also he was prepared for. He said, I accept that also. Then he said that for us to be satisfied that you have really given up your religion, Islam, and you have accepted Christianity, we want you to look after the pigs for 1 year. That also he accepted. And then he told his murids that what I hid by me is taken out. He also, we should learn a great lesson that a person must never ever have pride on anything, even his iman, his taqwa, whatever, his piety, his excessive ibadat. Allah can take it away at any time. And whatever a person has got, even his correct thinking, his dressing correctly, Allah can take it away. In fact, I remember on that point, it's also for us to learn. I'll just digress again. One time when our Shaykh Damat Barakatum was in another suburb of Karachi, Nazimabad, one time one person came and from head to toe dressed 100% according to Sunnah. And he came and he had a walking stick also, and not only a walking stick but a nail at the bottom of the walking stick, which is an actual sunnah in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They should use that. There was a nail at the bottom. So Hazrat asked him, why have you got this nail? So he said, there is sunnah. He says, nobody follows the sunnah today. And he became very cross and he says, you take objection on us when we are following sunnah. And he went more daring. And he said, even Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, who was living at that time, he also does not follow the sunnah, and he eats in glass plates, whereas to eat in earthenware is the actual sunnah of that time. So, and he became very angry, and he said many other bad words, and he left from there. So our Shaykh Damat Barakatum at that time said, Ya admi, bahut khatre mein hai. This person is in great danger. So anyway, he went away. After about 2 years in the majlis, again one person came. and this time dressed from head to toe Western dressing, hat Western way dressing, three-piece suit and three-button suit and everything 100% according to the West. So Maulana Mazhar Sahib, our Sheikh's son, Yamit Barakatum, asked Hazrat, do you recognize this person? He said, no, I'm seeing him for the first time. He said, there's that same person who came 2 years ago. And he made Aitirazat. And he had problems with all the Buzurgan and Deen and all that. And you told him at that time, this man is in great danger. So there are a few things here for us to learn. One, to make Aitiraz on the Ahlullah is not without its without its baggage. The retaliation and the punishment of it comes. That these people who are in their way seeking to please Allah and we find fault with them, it is extremely dangerous. And the other thing which is most important for us to know is to understand Sunnat. Sunnat cannot be understood from kitabs. People who want to follow deen and understand Sunnats etc. from kitabs usually go astray. The Sunnat, the standard and the criteria of it is to see the man of Allah Ta'ala, who we call Buzurganideen, Rijalullah. Anything, for example, the constitution of the country. From the constitution, you don't understand it. If you have a dispute, it will go to the constitution court. And they will decide, man will decide, what is the meaning here. Not what you understand, but man will understand. So our deen are not the words. The deen is the practices of the people. And there also let us understand this point also. We all read in Surah Fatiha, which is the summary of the whole Quran Sharif. And in there we read, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Show us the straight path. And what is the straight path? It is the theory, the word, the book. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That is this the kitab that Hidayat, you are asking, this is the kitab. But ask even a second year student of Arabic grammar and he will tell you that yeah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, and the next sentence that comes, the next jumla, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. This is badal kull. In other words, a full replacement of the first sentence. That ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, the full replacement of it is sirat al-ladhina, the path of those people, and amta alayhim, whom you had showered your favors upon. So that is the straight path, not the book of the kitab. The kitab is there to guide us to see who are. Kitabullah is to guide us to Rijalullah. According to Kitabullah, we will see whether these are Rijalullah or not. Whether there is namaz in their lives, whether there is sunnat in their lives, all deen, whether it is in their lives. And when you have seen that he qualifies for that, then who you have to follow is now Rijalullah. Those are the people you have to follow. So, and in any field also, it can be in mundane, secular sciences also, that for example, the doctor gives you a prescription. And then to understand that prescription, how to use the medicine he gives you. How to understand that is not what your understanding will be. You'll have to go back to him and he'll have to tell you that how you should use that, the medicine. How he interprets it, you'll have to understand. If on some electrical equipment you read about a male socket and a female socket, and you want to go and understand it from a dictionary, that what is a male and what is a female, then you'll go where you'll go and what you'll do. There you'll have to understand from an electrician that what is meant by a male socket here and what is meant by a female socket here. Everything according to that field. So deen also, those people who have dedicated their lives, and for us, we can't make enough shukr in this zamana. That all our akabir, we can really say all our akabir are not only buzurgs, but they are ulama, and not only ulama, but great, great ulama. And in our line, for example, we take any of our buzurgs. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum is a great alim, so great that so many people call him Hafiz of Ruhul Maani, Hafiz of Mulla Ali Qaris. Mirqat and Hadrat's Kitab that he has written on Nahwa, Sarf, etc., all that. Then you take Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Ali, the world, Arab and Ajam, all have acclaimed him as Shaykhul Hadith. You take, for example, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, who has written, according to different interpretations, between 1,000 and 2,700 kitabs on every field of scientific Islamic knowledge. And Hazrat said in his time, my knowledge will be appreciated 50 years from now. At that time, what knowledge is going to come in the world? And today, if we see Hazrat, so all, Mahar Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Mahar Khalil Ahmad, Maulana Shah Waliullah, whoever you can think of, what great, great. So our Buzurgan Deen are not only Buzurgs, but Ulama. And these people, and whoever had a little chance to stay with any of them, or to read any of the kitabs, will know what a great their biographies or autobiographies, then they will know that what caliber these people were of. So to follow the sunnah, we have to follow these people. And as Mufti Abdullah Pulpuri, Da'amat Barakatuh, explained, Maulana Ruhul Amin Sahib, Da'amat Barakatuh, explained also that we should not judge them according to how we judge, that we want to judge them. Where can we be judges? But this should be sufficient, that their elders have given them khilafat. So they trusted them. They had judged them and they had passed them. So that should be enough for us. When such great people, today Shaitan gives another dhoka also, that there aren't any buzurgs left. Shaitan, this is one of his main dhoka. And not from now, from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaitan told the people, مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامِ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. But then, is this a Rasul? He eats food like you people. He's a human being like you. He goes for shopping and he's buying his daily needs from the bazaar. He can be a buzurg. A buzurg is not like that. A buzurg is somebody else. And what? The Quran is full with it. How much? What the claims of the kufr, the shaitan put it in the minds of the mushriks, that a Rasul can't be like this, that he carries on. And all along it was like this. As long as a buzurg is living, shaitan puts it in the minds of the people, this is not a buzurg. A buzurg is like this. When he dies, passes away, now shaitan still doesn't leave the people. Now he tells them, what a great buzurg died. Now go to his qabr, and then we'll see what things they write there. That he was such great qualities. Now shaitan, he was such a great buzurg, make tawaf of his qabr. We'll make sajda on his qabr. And these things are happening. As long as he was living, and he prohibited people from sajda on the qabr. And because of that, shaitan said he's not a buzurg. When he dies, now he puts in the minds of the people that go and make sajda to him. He's a very great buzurg. He will intercede for you by Allah. You go and make sajda. You make tawaf of his qabr. You keep a photo of his. And even further, make a statue out of his. He was a very great buzurg. And not only a photo and statue, but even make sajda to that photo and to that statue. And every day before you go to work, see that you pay homage to the fauta. Before you leave for your home for work, going out, you go and pay your homage to that fauta or that statue. So this is how shaitan, he works on people all the time. And he will never leave a person. Always he will get to a person in different ways. So that is the work of shaitan. So he will say that today there are no buzurgs. But let the buzurg die and then see that now, how they make him so great. Hazrat Mir Sahib, Da'amat Barakatum, said that Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, he was a great buzurg also. And he was, in his time, he was the greatest buzurg in Karachi, in Pakistan. But to his majlis, he said 5-10 people should come. And when he passed away, for his janaza, so many people had come. That he said literally in Korangi, the Darul Ulum, Mufti Shafi Sahib's Darul Ulum, he said there wasn't a place even to put one toe, so many people there were. There wasn't place. He said when he was living, nobody appreciated. Now when he has passed away, the whole world has come. It's good, we must go for the janazah. And certain people's janazah, we don't go and make maghfirat dua for them. But by attending, our maghfirat gets done. Such buzurgs. But when he was living, who should come to the majlis? How many people should come? So that is what shaitan, as long as the buzurgs are living, say there is not a buzurg. Buzurgs have passed. Buzurgs were Maulana Masihullah Sahib, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali. These were now buzurgs. Now there aren't any more buzurgs. So shaitan gives that deception. And when these have passed away, for the next generation, shaitan says the same. When Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali passed away, in the tabligh field, people all said, now, what a great buzurg, there is nobody like him. Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali was about 27, 28 years, a young person still. That what can he, he's nothing now. So he put his heart off them. Now Maulana Ilyas is gone, now the work is gone. But when Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, Allahu Akbar, Allah took so great work from him, and passed away at the age of about 49, but how lot work he had done. Then again shaitan told, now such a great buzurg is gone. Now there is no one. When Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali started, mashallah, he was of senior age, and people who had respect had others, they said, now Maulana Yusuf was a speaker. Maulana Inamul Hassan, the direct opposite, completely silent, hardly ever really spoke. Now the work won't carry on. So then they complained to Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith told one word, that who are present now, appreciate them, tomorrow you won't have these also. These also will be gone tomorrow. So shaitan gives this deception. So anyway, from that person who had ataraz on buzurgani deen, and to understand deen, the application of deen, it is from buzurgani deen. From their company, not from kitabs. Those who have followed kitabs have always made mistakes and have gone made wrong interpretations. The mizaj of deen, the nature, a law is written, but what is the object of that law? What is the, what you call the inside, the not the please, is a nice word, not the crux, what is meant by it? What do they want? The wording is there, but what the essence? The essence of the law. What is the essence of the law? What does the law want here? For that to understand, those who made the law will know. And who they explain to the next people, they will know. The wording, if somebody, for example, very clearly, if a person, even the Salafis, Ahle Hadith people, our ulama have challenged them over and over, just completely take out from your mind the masail of the fuqaha. And only from Quran and even only from Hadith, try and explain how to make one rakat of namaz, you won't be able to. From Quran, you'll never be able to. Quran has never given it anywhere. That first is qiyam, then is ruku, then is sajda. That is in the Hadith. But in the Hadith also, there isn't all those details what the fuqaha have written. And if you take that away and you today try and explain only from Quran and Hadith, Deen, you won't be able to explain it. You without the fuqaha, the interpretation, and who are the fuqaha? They are those people, as Mufti Abdullah Pulpuri Rahmatullah Damat Barakatuh explained so beautifully. He says the greatest mazhab is the Hanafi mazhab today, which even Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali acknowledged, that he's the Imam as far as fiqh is concerned, Imam Abu Hanifa. And he said that knowledge is of two parts, questions and answers. And all the questions posed about deen, you must one rakat, how to make up that rakat. You came when the imam was just went into ruku. You came and you made salam, and you got one salam with the imam. These details you won't get in the hadith. That while you are making wudu, this happened, that happened, all the finer details. Today what the muftis give us, you won't get that in Quran Sharif directly. You won't get it, but it is all from Quran. It's not separate from Quran and hadith. Again, now let me just explain another point which is also very important, which Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali explained. He said that Buzurgan e Deen are not Allah. That's 100% all knows. Allah is Allah. And pious people, righteous people, Buzurgs are Buzurgs. But they're not separate from Allah also. Now many people get the worry of shirk here, that are they part of Allah, like Isa alayhi salam was part of Allah. But the example he gives is such a striking example. He said the rays of the sun and the energy of the sun is not the sun, but it's not separate from the sun. When the sun is there, the rays of the sun will be there. And when the energy of the sun will be, if the sun is not there, no rays also. So just like that, Buzurgan e Deen, they are not Allah, but they are so to say a shadow of Allah. What Allah wants us, they are Khalifatullah fil Ard. They are the vicegerents of Allah Ta'ala. So these people have got that. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he had posed the question, and knowledge only comes when there are questions. Like your small children, and a child must never be deprived and never told to shut up or something. You get angry with it. He'll ask so many questions over and over. That is how the child, that's a learning, natural learning process which Allah Ta'ala has made. And as the child gets answers, because we don't know answers, then we get angry on the child. And now we want to make the child quiet. But the child asks questions, and from there answers come, and knowledge comes from there. So all the questions that were posed were by Imam Abu Hanifa. So half the knowledge is already in the share of Imam Abu Hanifa. The other half then, four imams shared the other half. That will be what? 1/8 each. Half went away to Imam Abu Hanifa, and 1/8. So Imam Abu Hanifa got 5/8 of knowledge. And the other imams, 1/8, they gave answers also. And that 1/8 of answers which Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ali gave was not as one imam, one mufti writing a fatwa on his own. As the other three imams, they gave their own fatwas in their knowledge. But Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah had a parliament of fiqh, in which there were 40 great ulama and experts of every field. Experts of lughat, language, experts of tafsir, experts of hadith, and hadith, so many aspects of hadith. All that, those great ulama, and it was discussed in all of them. The final stamp, and so to say, signature, was put by Imam Abu Hanifa. So in Masala, and how beautifully Mufti Sahib also explained that, for example, in the, if you, here is an example, glaring example of that. If you study today just from yourself hadith, then man adraka rak'atan, a person who gets one rak'at of fajr just before sunrise, and one rak'at of asr just before sun sets. So then the masala is, according to hadith, you will see that his fajr is also made. Even the sun rose, and he got one rak'at, he got part of fajr just before fajr, before the sun rose, his namaz is made. And the same applies for asr also. But the mazhab is that your fajr is not made. If the sun rose while you are making fajr, your namaz is broken. You'll have to repeat your namaz. Your asr is made even if the sun set. And you are busy making asr, and the sun set, your asr will be made. So then the people told Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi rahmatullah alayh, who many people said that if he had claimed to be a mujaddid, he would have passed it. He was of such caliber. But he said, they told them, then let us change the mazhab, that it is now according to hadith, that a person, asr also won't be made. Otherwise, fajr is also made. So he said, no. When Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi passed us, the hadith that were present amongst those people, and that knowledge, today we haven't got all those ahadith. How many times Baghdad was plundered by the Tatars? Now, the Americans, when they came in the time of Saddam Hussein, they burned the libraries of Baghdad. All, how many kitabs which were nowhere else in the world, which were only Qalmi Nuskas, handwritten, today they all destroyed. We haven't got that knowledge now. And today we haven't got all those ahadith which were in front of them. And how they had, what knowledge they had in which they passed them. So today, what is our tahqiq? Today we have no chara, no way out besides being a muqallid. So Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali told that today, from our knowledge of this hadith which is in front of us, we come to a different conclusion. But we won't change the Hanafi Mazhab. That is much more solid. It is based on much more solid ground, and we'll follow the Mazhab of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. Because they didn't pass a Masala, and they didn't make a Hasam just like that. They had much more knowledge at their hands, much more data, all the hadith and the kitabs and that, which we don't have. So we will follow that mazhab. So, where were we? Yeah, that's afterwards. There's still links to that. Anyway, so today what we have to follow is our akabir and our aslaf, our buzurgs, and the buzurgs of today, those whom our greater buzurgs had trusted upon them. They gave them sanad of hadith, and then they, for example, a student of Darul Uloom Deoband, where always Allah has made it great, great ulama, and one person studies from a small madrasa. Today, even in the eyes of the people, there is a graduate of Deoband. And one person studies from one alim. And one person studied from a galaxy of ulama. And in a place like Darul Uloom Deoband. So, follow the ulama and such ulama. And those that the elders have placed their trust upon them. Those are the people to follow up, to follow on. So, this person here, who made Atiraz on the Buzurg, see how his whole life changed. When he came back to Hazrat's Majlis again, how he was. So we shouldn't make this atiraz. One time, one student came here to me in the office many years right at the beginning, and he said, we must run the madrasa 100% according to sunnah. I said, that's my desire also. Which aspects? So a few things he told. So I told him, all right, from tomorrow, you don't use the toilets in the room. We've got a nice big felt here. So you go to the felt, and that is the actual sunnah. To go to the felt and go and relieve yourself. To use the toilet in the room is not the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You go and use the felt. So where is it practical today? So that person, Hazrat explained him, he said that nail at the bottom of the walking stick, it's sunnah. So now Hazrat explained to him that in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no concrete, there were no tar roads, there was no paving. It was all just ordinary sand. Snakes used to come out also. Rodents used to come out. Other insects, scorpions, etc. So that nail was needed in order to kill a snake, in order to kill something that might harm you or you find on the way. And today he says in Karachi, you go onto a bus and the passengers are not only full on the seats, the whole aisle and hanging from the doors, and they are sitting on top also. Now you're going with your stick and you are climbing on top or something. How many people are you going to hurt? And forget the bus and the train. Just walking. How lot of people there are. Now with that nail, you're going to hurt people. So to understand, and this is also one of the kamalat of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that he understood the essence of hadith. Not just the word of the hadith, but the essence and the ruh, the spirit of the law. That was the word, the spirit. What is the spirit behind it? That Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh had understood. So Shaykh Shibli rahmatullah alayh, he was, when he saw this girl and he fell in love with her, the ulama have explained that it wasn't that guna of his that led him then afterwards to even give up Islam, etc. But, and this is a very important thing, there was another guna before that. And what was that guna? That when those people had refused them water, then their hiqarat, their lowness came into his heart. That these are idol worshippers. These are mushriks. They believe in Allah as Trinity, part of three, or Isa alayhi salam, son of God, etc. They are on batil, and we are on haq, and they can't even give us water for our namaz. We are better than them. They are lower than them. This Allah Ta'ala dislike. Many times a hidden guna manifests itself in an outward guna later. But the cause of that guna is the other guna at the back. And therefore also, when a person feels sad, which we call nowadays depression, then just trace back your what had happened. What had triggered this? Why am I feeling sad? Somebody, for example, many of us, we suffer with this, that we want lot of self-pity, want lot of sympathy. We pity ourselves. Nobody appreciates what I do. Nobody sees what I do. Nobody appreciates. I do so much for people, and this is how they treat me in return. Now you're feeling sad. I'm not getting what I'm supposed to get. I'm supposed to be getting praises. You're not doing it for money. You won't accept money. But what you want? Appreciation. And now that you didn't do it for Allah, nobody appreciates, no problem. Allah is appreciating. But when you are doing it, people must appreciate. People must come and tell you, Jazakallah. Now you have got self. Now you start pitying yourself. And to such a stage that you start feeling sad, which is called depression now. Now you don't feel like doing anything. Now you build up enmity for those people. They say, I do so much for my wife. I do so much for my wife's family. I do so much for my children, for everyone. And these people don't appreciate. When I ask them one favor, they couldn't do me this one favor also. They don't appreciate. Now, so just trace back what is the cause. Then analyze that. And then you'll see you come out of your sadness, your depression very easily. You do feel sad. Things do happen to a person. Go backwards. Where has this started? What triggered it? And then analyze that situation. Come on top of the situation. Don't let the situation control you. Don't let the car be on top of you. You be on top of the car. Don't let the car control you, which is called the car is now the car is gone out of control. But you control the car. Then there is no problem. So that back condition causes something in front to come. So Sheikh Shibli, when he looked down upon these people, then Sheikh Abdullah Andalusi, rahmatullah. Then when he went front, then Allah Ta'ala showed it out in that way. So when a person gets caught like in a guna, laziness in namaz, not getting up for fajr, now looking at other women, in most cases, it is something at the back. Now Allah Ta'ala puts you, as a punishment, Allah puts you into another guna. And you come into a guna. Now you're getting angry, Allahu Akbar. As the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, has explained, when a person commits guna, disobeys Allah Ta'ala, Allah's punishments are of two types. One is a very light punishment, and one is a severe punishment. The light punishment are for the friends of Allah. When they have done wrong, Allah gives them a light punishment. And the heavy punishment are for the enemies of Allah. The light punishment is when we have done something wrong. Now our business is not going right. Whatever we want to do, it's not going right. Everything, the light punishment is that now you became crippled. You came into an accident. You got blind. This is a light punishment. Because in that condition, a person makes tawbah. Or something goes wrong also, whether now your business is not going right, at home you are fighting, whatever. This is a light punishment. So when that bad conditions come, if a person was a friend of Allah, he won't just blame it on the other people. Immediately he will realize, I have done something wrong. Like a simple animal, a dog. If you pick up a stick for the dog goes away, runs away. You show it a piece of meat, it will come. So that is animal instinct, the dog mentality. So a human being also, when these good conditions come, and we think, and we blame somebody, some bad conditions come, and we blame somebody, that this customer of mine is like this, workers of mine are like that, my wife is like this, she did this. So a dog also understands, if you throw a stone, it doesn't run after the stone, but it will come for you. That it knows the stone is not the thing. You are the one who threw the stone. So conditions are coming from the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. But we run after conditions. We're taking this person to court. We're fighting with that person. And we got a fight and argument. But that condition came from Allah Ta'ala. One time, Mawlana Idris Kandelvi rahmatullah alayhi has written this. In a majlis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person was speaking very bad to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, accusing him and insulting him. Terrible he was saying. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just smiling. When Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said one word in his defense, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became upset, got up and went away. Hazrat Abu Bakr said, "Oh Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this person was insulting me like this, speaking so bad about me, you were just smiling. And when I said one word in my defense, you became upset and you got up and walked away." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, as long as you were silent, Allah had sent a farishta as your lawyer and he was defending you. And a farishta, what defense will he give? But the minute you spoke, then Allah ta'ala disliked you. And that farishta went away and Allah was unhappy with this majlis, therefore I couldn't stay in such a majlis. Therefore I got up and went away." So Allah defends those people. When other people, but now we think it is from the person and we want to fight with the person. In a hadith it comes, "Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna khalqillah," a person who corrects everything between him and the creation of Allah Ta'ala. "Aslaha Allah ma baynahu wa bayna khalqihi." Allah corrects all the matters between him and the creation. If we see problems in our lives, realize that it is coming from Allah. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't send problems just for fun's sake. Let's see now, we put this person, give him an accident, let that person become crippled, let that person do this, let his business go down, just for fun, na'uzubillah, never. It is our action. What we have done, on that Allah sends that. Now, naturally, this dunya is a place of cause and effect, so Allah will use somebody for that. Now, whom Allah is going to use, they are sent, like if the postman comes, and he brings you a 50,000 rand check in the post, and you go and kiss his feet, "Oh, you're so good to me." It's not he who has sent it, somebody has sent it, he has just brought it. Or if the sheriff of the court comes and he's going to lock up your house, your business, or whatever else he's going to do, and you start fighting with him, what has he got to do? He's got orders to do. So all the asbab of this world are orders from Allah Ta'ala. And it comes from Allah Ta'ala. So a person who has got proper understanding, somebody comes and cut off your light, this municipality has sent, and you start fighting with him, what is he going to help you? You phone them there and ask them, "What's your problem? I've paid my account," whatever it is. You, when you clarify with them, they'll give him orders, connect the light again. But you fight with him, he's got no authority. His work is to cut your light off. That's all what he has. That's what his work is. He hasn't got a, he can't, he's got nothing. So asbab, and we fight with asbab here. And the asbab under the control of Allah. And Allah, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. Allah says, when somebody has done wrong, we use a more greater wrongdoer to punish the less wrongdoers. So Allah just uses them against us. And we fight with them. And they are just like that postman. Well, if the postman has come and delivered a summons to you, or the sheriff of the court has delivered a summons, and you fight with him, what can he do about it? It is from above. So that is what we have to understand. So these conditions which come are from, so there are two types of condition. One is when we have done wrong, then Allah uses asbab. And whether now somebody fights against you, somebody pumps your car, somebody steals something from you, whatever it is, it has come from Allah Ta'ala. So what you have to do, if you have got contact with Allah, and that is also why it is so important that a person must understand, have ma'rifat of Allah, and understand the workings of Allah. There is one outside system which is working, which even animals can see, and non-Muslims can see, and we also see. And there is another system which is superimposed over the system. overrides the system of this world, that system of Allah Ta'ala, which is above. And a mu'min is supposed to see that system of Allah Ta'ala, which is working. And he must understand that is the greater, stronger system. And it's superimposed, and it overrides the system here. This is a small little system, which even all the governments and scientists and mathematicians, they work with all this system. But what is mu'min? The degree of iman, that you see that system of Allah Ta'ala. So when you know that, if you are aware of it, before such conditions came to you, you will make haste to Allah Ta'ala. That is why the wind blew little strong in Medina Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got to the masjid, sajda. And the Buzurgan Edeen. Anything? Sadaqah. Immediately now, tahajjud, now namazes, now more ibadat of Allah. Because they know it has happened from there. We have to correct it from there. More than your patient, your family member is in the ICU. Doctors have given hope, given up hope. There are such cases. Qari Abdul Rashid of Karachi, he flew to America, and when he got off, his legs were swollen so thick, and he was so ill, they admitted him in hospital. And they gave up hope, everything. Multiple organ failure, everything. And he had no hope for the next hour or two. But after about 28 days, he came walking out of the hospital. All the hospital people, the nurses, the doctors, from top to bottom, they came and see him, and they told him, "Ayatu min ayatillah," you are a sign of God. That it was impossible for a person. But when connection was made, once a Jamaat came, later in those days of the apartheid days, Dr. Appa's Jamaat from Bombay, they came to Johannesburg, Jan Smuts Airport, and they allowed them. They said, "Only 3 days we are allowing you to stay." And then when they went back to the airport to leave, that officer came. He said, "What are you people doing? I got off now orders in the apartheid day from the minister, Home Affairs Minister, and he tells me to give you 6 months visa." So there is another system that is working over all this system, and this happens to we experience this, that system from on top, how it works, where everyone is refusing to do your work. One officer comes and he just does your work, go, there's your work done. So there is a on top, and that person is also controlled by Allah. He also hasn't come on his own. He is also controlled by Allah. So that is one system. And the other system is that when Allah punishes you, He gives you a light punishment. And what is that? Hatta idha jaa ahaduhum, what's it? Seven supara. Falamma nasu ma dhukkiru bihi. When these people forget what we have reminded and told them about repeatedly, over and over, we gave them reminders. They were learned in the maktab, their deen, and then they grew up. Then perhaps they even became hafiz, became alims also. Every Jummah they listening to bayan. Now Allah has made further arrangements. Gasht bayan takes place, bayan takes place. People come to your house. If you never go to the masjid, you're not listening to Jummah bayan, they come give you da'wat at your home now, right at your doorstep. They will sit in your lounge and give you da'wat. Kitabs are printed, and cassettes there are, CDs there are, the media there is. The news, the information of Islam is coming to everyone, but you don't pay attention. You break Allah's laws. You go against it. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا ذُكِّرُوا over and over. Not once they were reminded, but reminded over and over. ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We open the doors of everything upon them. Now we give them, for such people whom Allah does not like, then this more heavier punishment comes, which we think is good. Now you hardly had a car, now you're owning 2-3 cars. You hardly had a phone, now you're owning, everyone in the house has got 2-3 phones. You had just one bedroom house, now you got 12 bedroom house. How many bedrooms are just lying empty? Allah gives you. Now you become proud, and you commit more guna also, and you go more against in the disobedience of Allah. And what a beautiful example of this is given. You have a rat, a mouse in the house, which is troubling all the time, eating the potatoes, the onions, the tomatoes, everything. Now find the mouse went and eat the housewife's scarf also. Now she couldn't take it. He's going over the limit now. Now what she does? She goes and buys fresh cheese. Also nice hot ghee roti. Nice hot ghee. And she puts it on the thread, and right at the hole where he comes out. Now he thinks that Allah is very happy. The house people are very happy. They're giving me hot fresh ghee roti or fresh cheddar cheese right at my door. But we know when he goes and buy, the trap will come. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. We catch them suddenly. One shot we catch them. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ Then حَيْرَانِ Oh, what happened here? Everything was going so nice. My business, my house, my this, that. What suddenly everything has just been snatched away. That is a heavy punishment, which we take as an enjoyable thing. Now Allah has given us more avenues for us. Open this up. Hazrat Ji Maulana Inam al-Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, if Allah's ni'mat comes with the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, then it is ni'mat. And if outward ni'mat comes, then it is not ni'mat, it is niqmat. It is a punishment from Allah Ta'ala. Or it is istidraj, you are just being fooled. You are put in a fool's paradise. Like the fish, once it is caught, the fisherman plays with it for a little while. He puts the bait also for the fish. The fish goes for it. The fish gets caught. Then he plays with it all the time. Then when he wants to, suddenly he'll just pull it. So Allah also, He gives you that little bit and He plays, gives you more time, play around a little bit. Then suddenly when He pulls you, then you see everything else, the reality of things come out. So like that, we must be careful that what the things of the past. So when Allah Ta'ala, for a guna, an inward guna, a condition of the heart, and this is the serious thing, then an outward guna takes place afterwards. Now you get involved with a woman, it was an inward guna somewhere. Disrespect of ulama, for example, mockery about deen, for example, anything else, then an outward guna takes place. Now you start stealing, now you go on to drugs, now you go on to alcohol, etc. These outward gunas, the cause of it is an inward guna. So that person, so the Shaykh Abdullah Andalusi rahmatullah alayh, that was his condition. What happened there? That he fell into that guna, but then his murids were very sincere also. They cried and made dua to Allah, and again that superimposed system worked, and they came back to him after a year to see, then Allah had changed his heart. And he made ghusl, he accepted Iman, Islam. Allah gave him his whole mansab back with all his murids again and everything. So this is the story, the lesson from it, that outwardly many ulama also have just looked at that his eyes fell on that girl, that Bad Nazri, which is also. Bad Nazri is so serious. But this Bad Nazri, the cause of it also, the outward guna, is an inward guna. Something that we do wrong with the heart, which nobody can see. And many times we also don't catch that fault. That what is the actual fault? What is triggering this? A good doctor, a good mechanic also, doesn't just see the outside for problem, but what is causing the problem. And that is usually what the hakims do. They don't just look at the bimari on the outside. Where is the root cause of it? And they treat the root cause of it. It will take a little longer, but it will give you complete. If you've got a sore here, doctor might just treat that sore. Hakim will see that your blood is bad. We have to treat your blood. And why is your blood bad? What are you eating? What is happening? What deficiency? That they will treat. Otherwise, the doctor will treat this sore here. Tomorrow there's another sore somewhere else again. So the Hakim will see, he will sort out your blood problem. Your blood is, you are eating junk food, you are eating food, things which are not right, which is causing this. So all our outward problems are caused by an inward problem. So this we should try and understand. So it's not within our capacity generally that we can understand this. There's only, and Allah has left every avenue open for us. We must ask for blanket amnesty. We have to make tawbah from gunas which we know and gunas that we don't know. Gunas that are outward gunas and inward gunas. And there are so many gunas that we think, and in fact we have to make tawbah of those gunas, what we think are good deeds, but they are actually gunas. Like for example, you're traveling on the aeroplane and you feel it's good akhlaq to smile and joke with the air hostess. Whereas that is actually ain guna. It is actually haram. But you are thinking, no, I must show good character. I must smile, I must laugh, etc. So we are doing so many good deeds which are actually gunas. How lot of riya in our amal. All those amal, they are actually bringing the anger of Allah. And we are thinking that we are doing neki. And then when Allah becomes displeased And Allah doesn't take a person to task on his guna immediately. That's never. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu told that whenever somebody is caught, and is caught out, he's been now in public, his guna comes, be sure it wasn't the first time he is committing the guna. He is committing it for a long time. He went over the limit. When you fill tea, water in your glass, it doesn't overflow at the first drop. But when it carries on, and now it comes, reaches the brim, then it starts overflowing. So gunas also of a person, Allah disgraces a person, may Allah protect us all. But when that guna, and you don't make tawbah, and you lessen the level, and you drop the level, but you just keep on making guna, and it goes over the brim, that is now when your disgrace comes. And you get exposed, that is when that happens. So we should understand the system of Allah Ta'ala, and we should make tawbah of all our gunas. And Allah leaves a person. Till the cup gets full, Allah will leave him. And he'll carry on making zulam on people, making accusing people, doing all other types of guna. But when it goes over the limit, then Allah takes that person to task. So this from the story of Sheikh Shibli, from the guna of the eyes also we should take a lesson, and that comes from a good condition of the heart. And that also we should take a lesson from, correct ourselves. From here also another great lesson, if a person is right, he doesn't have to be corrected. A person who is awake, you don't go and wake up that person. A person who is sleeping, you have to wake him up, he has to get up on his time. But a person who is awake already, you don't have to wake. So if we are right, Allah doesn't bring conditions like this upon us. We are right already. But when we are not right and Allah wants you to be right, you are written by Allah that you are going to go Jannah, then you have to be corrected. Right? Then you have to be made right. Once we were going to one of our nearby countries, and the aeroplane, there was some problem, and they were using huge 4-pound hammers hitting at the wheel to fix up something. Of course, that's not the way to do a thing. But anyway, they were doing. Now, why has a 4-pound hammer got to be used? Because that wheel was something wrong. If it was right, they're not going to for nothing come to a wheel that is perfect, that is in order, and you start using a 4-pound hammer, sledgehammer, and you start hitting at it. No. So if we are right, nobody will become, and no problem will come to us. But when we are wrong, things go wrong in our life. If we are right, things will go right. So if we correct ourselves, otherwise the problems come. And then they come in such a way, now you get divorced from your wife, you don't know why I got divorced. We made istikhara also, our parents also saw, they said very good girl, very good girl. But after that you went and do something wrong. And now you lost a good girl in your life also. Other problems keep on coming. Problems after problems come in your life. Many people, we don't know why problems are just coming. Problems are just not coming to an end. The problem is you the problem. And the problem is you're not recognizing your problem, that I'm the problem. You are putting the blame somewhere else. So when you're not correcting yourself where the problem is, and you're trying to correct the problem where it isn't, how can things come right? Get to the problem where it is, and you're the problem. And you make tawbah, that is the starting point. The starting point of the tasawwuf is where a person accepts I'm faulty, I'm wrong, and I make tawbah, I make istighfar, and I promise I won't commit gunas again. Now hope, and sincerely, hopefully this person is good. But a person who doesn't accept his mistakes, I'm not wrong, others are wrong, they doing this to me, how is he going to be? Even logically we can understand. And even spiritually it is, that if you don't correct, you the problem, and you're not correcting yourself. In a department, one person who is the head, he's the problem. And you're trying to change all the workers, the people who are under him. But you're leaving the problem there. How is the problem going to get solved in that department? He has to be removed, that person there. Either he's corrected or he has to be removed. Then that department is going to come right. So in my department of my life, I'm the problem. I'm the head of the department. And I'm not correcting matters, and I want all the people under me, my hands to work right, my eyes to work right, my workers to work right, my wife to work right, to be obedient, but I'm incorrect myself. How can it be corrected? We have to correct ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala save us from the guna of the eyes, and more important, the guna of the heart. And those are serious things, and it's very important. If we make our Islah, we will see the change will come, and our lives will be smooth and running, not only smooth but wonderfully. Our lives will run in such a way we'll get Jannat here already. The enjoyments of Jannat, we'll get it here in this dunya. Maut is not a hazardous thing for such a person. He looks eagerly forward to maut. Maut will come smoothly. His qabr will go even better. And his day of Qiyamah, he will fly to Jannat and go straight to Jannat. May Allah in his kindness bless us all with this, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Thank you.